Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, fellow humans. Welcome to the Hot Mess Clubhouse, a podcast celebrating funny women, hosted by me, Lucy Vine. This week, we welcome our fourth guest to the Clubhouse, brilliant writer and comedian Alison Spittle. I was so excited to meet her because I've heard her do so much and enjoyed her so much, and she was an absolute letdown. Just kidding, she's totally excellent. Although I was very jealous going into this chat because just outside the studio we bumped into another Irish person and they instantly bonded, so I was resentfully trying to prove my Irish credentials even though I don't have any. Alison is absolutely wonderful and I fell a little bit in love with her, which I'm sure you'll be able to tell as we talk about destroying weddings, Catholic guilt, fatness, and that weird thing when you discover your parents are human beings. Hope you enjoy this chat. Please subscribe and rate if you have a minute. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
How are you, more importantly?
Good.
You're the star here.
What? Do you know what's weird? Like, because my dad is English and sometimes I listen to myself on a podcast and I could hear myself saying more and more words kind of Englishier.
Oh no, you're getting anglicised.
Well, yeah, but I get anglicised every time I ring up my dad though, because he's like, oh,
so he
I...
has a proper English accent.
Oh,
then.
He's like, yeah. He is that English. It's almost offensive.
Because you were born here, weren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah.
And then you moved about.
Did, and moved.
I read your Wikipedia page.
I don't know who did that Wikipedia page.
Oh, I was going to ask you, who makes a Wikipedia page?
I'd say it has to be my agent in Ireland.
Sure.
I'd say, because it's all...
It's their job, right?
Yeah, and it's all like... It's got a lot of citations as well. It's not like, oh, this interview that she did here. And I'd say it's definitely the agent. And my Wikipedia page does talk about a TV show that I wasn't proud of that I'd like it off my Wikipedia.
But you can request changes, surely.
But you can't. Can you request because of shame?
Yes.
And you go, really?
No, you can't. No. So anyway, when I was bothering you about this interview, you mentioned that you're writing. What is it that you're writing? Are you working on a new show?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm working on something that kind of, it's very early days and probably
But you've done that before, haven't
happening.
You?
I have, in Ireland. Mm. And I enjoyed it. It was good crack. That was the show that I did is not the show that I'm ashamed of.
Oh, okay.
Just saying that right now.
Maybe you should list the things that are not the thing you're ashamed of.
No, I'll let the rest of them stew.
Yeah, just let them be out there wondering if they're the thing that you...
Yeah, yeah. No, I wrote a sitcom with my partner and I acted in it and it was shown in Ireland and... I don't know if it's going to get shown here. Probably not, like, you know.
But that is phenomenal.
Passing.
Yeah. Who cares if England want it? Ireland liked it.
I know, yeah. I was
right?
really happy.
The only people that matter.
But it's so weird being over here and kind of going, I write TV in Ireland. It's a very, very niche thing.
Do you enjoy the writing process?
I enjoy writing dialogue. I'm writing... I can tell you about this, actually. I'm writing a play.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, yeah. And I did a half an hour of it and we did a work in progress festival. And it was lovely. It was really
so
nice.
Well.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a big risk of a play that I wouldn't have been able to put on TV or in a film.
Amazing.
So, yeah, I think that's why I wrote it. I wanted to scratch that itch.
That sounds phenomenal.
It.
So when will that be?
Hopefully... Once again, we've applied for festivals.
Amazing.
So you have to, I'll have to, like, in about a few months, I'd know what's happening.
Oh, fingers crossed.
Mm. Absolutely, fingers crossed, because the two actors that are in it are amazing.
Oh, that's such a nice feeling. It must also be such a nice feeling when you do the work in progress things and get such a lovely reaction.
Especially
that sort of immediate feedback.
I wrote it for, there was one guy in particular that I wanted to be the male in it because I just think he's incredibly talented. And then the other actor in it, a lady called Roxanne, and she's amazing. And she's in this new film that my friend is making about bike stealing in Ireland.
Amazing.
And they're all making it in their spare time. And I think that's what I miss about Dublin. I love London, but I miss the set of creative friends that I have.
Yeah.
And now they're only WhatsApp people.
Yeah, but you can find a new gang here.
Yeah, totally. I'm looking forward to that. Yes, yeah.
Made one today. One friend today.
Yeah.
Not me. I'm fine about it.
I'm so bad. No.
I want to be too.
We're podcasting.
We'll be best friends in like 10 minutes, right?
Exactly. That's how podcasts work. Honestly, a lot of my friends I've made because I have a podcast and I just interview them. And then, like, there's a lady called Caroline O'Donoghue.
Yes,
you know
I know her. Yeah, she's great. I was just listening to your chat with her.
I love her.
So great.
I love her. And now, like, I'm really bad at, I am 29.
Right.
And I'm not used to making new friends, and I'm really bad at keeping up with people via WhatsApp or Facebook, or I just always kill a virtual conversation very quickly. I do. Some people are like, hey, what are you up to today? And I'm like, oh, nothing. And then 20 minutes later, I'll text,
stop.
How are you? Do you know, I'm very bad at that, and I wish I was better because I need more friends.
Well, I was going to ask you, we mentioned just a minute ago that you moved around a lot when you were young. Moved to a few different places and then ended up in Ireland. I did that. Almost exactly. I sort of finished moving around when I was 8.
Oh, my gosh.
But you moved in and out of the country and everything, didn't you? I was just around
but
the UK.
But you moved schools.
Yeah,
well,
repeatedly.
I think that's a big difference.
And I wanted to ask you if you feel like that was something that helped you, because you then just have to keep making new friends.
Definitely.
Or if it's just really soul destroying.
No. Like, so me and my cousin Anthony, who's this like fantastic social, he's just a
some people have just
got wonderful
it.
Man. Yeah. And he moved around a lot as well. Like I think children of builders in the 90s moved around a lot, you know. I remember I lived in Germany and I had no children friends. So I had a goldfish that I named after my dad's workmate called Brett. And I would just call different...
Were you particularly obsessed with your dad's friend?
No, I like the name. There was another guy called Malcolm from New Zealand, and I named like another fish after him. And I named another fish after my mum, Jenny. And my mum, I think the fish died of its own volition. But my mum was like, we had an accident. I flushed the fish down the toilet by accident.
How does that happen?
You see, and I took that as a kid. I was a very gullible kid, and I held it against my mum.
Oh, well, you should.
Yeah. But I think what happened was I didn't listen to her correctly, and she probably said there was an accident. The fish is dead, so I flushed the fish down the toilet.
You haven't had this confrontation with her since then?
No, not yet. But one day,
it's brewing,
if
right?
I drink enough at Christmas, it'll come bubbling out. And another thing.
All this resentment building up.
It's beautiful. I'm waiting for a big family occasion. Maybe my sister's wedding.
Perfect.
Yes. Great time.
Yeah.
Great time.
As the vows are being exchanged.
That's how my family sort out stuff, though. It's like,
wait for dramatic, important moments.
Wait for a wedding and destroy it.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
If a wedding hasn't been destroyed in some way, it's not a proper wedding.
If a bride isn't crying in the corner while being consoled by someone in front of a chocolate fountain while two men throw each other into a sweet display. And you're like, leave it out. It's our big day. No, it can't wait. We need to do it now. Sorry. It's just Prosecco. Yeah, it just reminds me of violence at weddings.
We're beautiful. Drinking Prosecco, and it's also bad and dangerous for me because Prosecco really makes me burp. So any second now, I'm just going to start burping into the mic.
This genuinely is expensive Prosecco.
Can you tell?
If I like it, it's expensive because I've got expensive taste. If it's not nice, it's cheap.
Yeah, that'll do it. Okay, yeah, that seems right. Yeah, because you've got expensive taste buds.
Exactly.
Classy taste buds.
Classy. Yeah, I moved around. Sorry, to go back to your question.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I feel like I've asked you so many questions that we haven't once got to the end. Sorry, it's my fault.
No, but I moved around, moved around loads. And when I was a kid, I was always on like the periphery of friend groups, but I was always a funny one. So I just made a role for myself and went in and was just like, hi, my name is Alison. Okay, we don't have much time. I've got 2 months in this school. Let me tell you a joke.
Did you always know you were only going to be there for a short time?
No, but like you kind of, sure. you use those same kind of learning mechanisms and socializing kind of patterns all the time. I moved like loads. I remember once, so my dad was a builder and then he had an accident and was disabled for a couple of years. So we kind of just kept us in the one place then and we just stayed. Yeah. But I think if he didn't have that car crash, we probably would have moved around loads. Right. Don't worry, that's not a secret.
He's fine now, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, he's absolutely fine. Okay, yeah. He was in a wheelchair for a couple of years. But
how old were you at that point?
I was about, I would say, 6 or 7 or something like that.
It's weird when you can see your parents being sort of weak and vulnerable, like human beings, especially when you're young.
Oh, totally. But you know what's weird is like when you're a teenager, it's when you talk to your parents. Like the physical thing, it was just like, oh, that's daddy on wheels for a year.
What a cool dude.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, daddy's frustrated. I understand. But like, do you know what the cool thing was? That like he kind of attaches himself to his work. He's a great man. He really loves Britain and he loves building. And those are his two favourite things. And
are you number three or?
I'm up there. But like they would bring him in and make the site kind of wheelchair accessible, and then he would build walls up until the height that he could.
Oh, amazing.
Which was pretty cool.
He carried on working then, yeah.
Yeah, oh, all the time. So that's why, yeah. But
and you said about talking when you're a teenager, like later on when you discover they're emotional human beings as well.
Oh, stop. Yeah, and then you get older.
Weird.
And then, you know, and sometimes when you're a kid, you're like, why is he acting that way? Or why is she acting that way? And then you get older and you're like, oh.
Human being.
Weird.
But also it's this thing of like we blame our parents for everything, really, don't we? Like emotional, but we're all just so fucked up, and it is generally our parents' fault, but they're also human beings.
Yeah, and then I'm like, I would so fuck weird. Up my kids
this
so
is why
badly.
I don't want to do it.
I would I would do it so bad. I'm like,
also,
I
the world's
know.
Gonna be like destroyed any minute now. So
I know,
it's fine.
So I'm saying it's for environmental reasons.
Yes,
it's
quite right. So you are a very funny woman.
Thank you.
I mean, does it make you uncomfortable to be sort of given a compliment? How are you with compliments?
I'm very bad because I'm ex-Catholic, so therefore...
Yeah.
Are you?
The Catholic guilt, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I'm pretty Irish in all but literalness.
Oh, my gosh.
One of 5 Catholic family.
So did you go to Catholic school?
Yeah, nuns the lot.
Oh, my gosh. Well, what's your favourite hymn? Yes. Well, in secondary school, there were some, like, residual nuns.
What was your experience of nuns?
There was one nun who was lovely, and there was one nun who, I mean, I did give a lot of cheek. You know what? Give a lot of cheek and be quite naughty. And I was about 15, and she said to me, "If this was 20 years ago, I'd be hitting you with a ruler right now." And I was like, "Whoa."
Yes, how sad that child brutality is no longer allowed.
Although, I mean, I would have hit me over a ruler.
Yeah, this is why I couldn't be a teacher. Both
couldn't
my parents were
teacher.
Teachers. I couldn't be a teacher because I would beat
I
the shit out of kids.
Anything other than a comedian.
Oh, well, that's a lovely way to feel.
There's
it's
no
like,
responsibility.
Like your calling.
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't have any regrets about your choice.
And there's no HR department.
Oh, it's good, isn't it? They're
I mean, that
worst.
Is what is bad, though, about comedy.
Oh, we were talking about nuns, and I really wanted to ask you what you made of the sexy priest in Fleabag. Because as an Irish Catholic, I was so turned on and yet also so horrified at myself.
But it's like that's the ultimate... Where does the horror come from?
Because he's a priest. Like, growing up, come on, were you not just... like priests were sort of godlike figures.
Yeah, they're like Ken dolls to
me.
Yeah,
absolutely. That's what I mean. And
junk.
Then to fancy one.
Yeah.
Even though he's an actor. I understand that.
Well, in Ireland, like, we've got such small towns and villages that you hear gossip all the time. And it was always, like, back in the day, there was always some lad in, like, there's a lot of scandals in Ireland, like, of, and on the nicer scale is, like, just priests having affairs.
Sure.
You know, and you're like,
that's the best you can hope for.
That is the best.
Yeah, there's definitely a priest from my first school who taught my brother's class, who is in jail now.
Whoa!
Yeah.
I wonder how they get. We should get off that subject.
Love a bit of paedophiles.
I know. It's, well, you see, that's it. Being Catholic, though, it is kind of like
a really there. Mixed bag of feelings. Yeah.
Did your parents ever warn you against, like, how did they explain the concept of, like, paedophilia to you?
They never did.
Okay.
Well, I don't. Well. I don't know, maybe it's the 5 years, like, I'm older than you.
Yeah.
But I don't think it was really something I was even aware of until I was an adult.
I mean, my mum would be like, see that man that lives in that house? Keep away from that man.
Oh, really?
And never go near that man. Yeah.
And was he definitely, or do you think
he was
just
he was
gossip?
Convicted. He
oh,
was,
shit, yeah, right, yeah, there you yeah, go. Yeah.
So it was just like...
I mean, maybe she did. There was definitely the Stranger Danger shit that you...
Yeah. We had, like, single man living in your town. Teacher. Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. What do you miss about being a Catholic?
I don't know if I miss anything about it.
I miss the communion.
Do you actually?
I miss the taste. I
but
miss
it was horrible.
The whole...
Tasted like a bit of cardboard.
It tasted like wafer.
Stop it. And it was a piece of cardboard.
You used to get stuck to the roof of my mouth and as a kid I'd be like,
yeah, that was horrible.
Oh, this is unbecoming of Jesus to be here. And I tried to flick
him. A piece of Jesus is stuck to the top of my
mouth. Yeah, well, that's it. But you always think about, like, Jesus in that way of like, all right, I'm consuming our Lord. Fine. I miss that. Oh, I miss some of the hymns. I do.
Yeah. Do you know what the hymns? They were lovely, weren't they? Yeah.
I, the Lord of sea and sky. Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
I have heard my people cry. All who dwell in dark and sin, my hand shall save.
It's like, wow, that is amazing.
Yeah, doesn't that
I haven't thought
visceral.
About that song. Yeah, they come back to me.
It's like a Muppet Christmas Carol to me. Aww. If you sing a bit of Muppet Christmas Carol, I'll just join in.
Aww.
Plus, actually, I felt my God was the Muppet of Christmas Future because I watched that around the time I was discovering.
But do you not believe in God at all anymore, or is it
no.
just Catholicism?
No, I don't, because... I kind of left Catholicism and I was like, I'm not going to think about this until somebody close to me dies. And then somebody close to me did die. And I was
and
like...
still didn't bring it back for you.
And then I was like, all right, that's it then. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. How are you about it?
Well, I remember being about 13, still going to church, and just mm-hmm. one day everyone doing the creed and like right. all chanting at once. And I was just, I remember just this realisation that it was like a cult.
Yeah.
And that it actually was just made me very uncomfortable and I didn't believe in any of it. And it was quite a sudden because I was really like, I used to write Bible stories and stuff when I was a kid.
Oh, I was massively into
yeah,
God.
Weird.
I kept trying to convert my dad and my dad was an
was
atheist.
Was your dad not?
Yeah.
Oh, right. So was like, it your mum who got you into Catholicism?
Mum and dad, when they got married, had to sign a contract to bring me up as Catholic.
No
Or
way.
They couldn't get married in the Catholic church and mum wanted to get married in the Catholic church. It was like the 80s. But yeah, yeah.
How
and my,
amazing.
I used to go to Sunday school, was very
yeah,
into JC.
School.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Do you feel like, as a comedian, mm-hmm. people mistake, you know, that stage confidence with actual endless buckets of confidence?
Yeah, because I went to a party a few weeks ago and it was from a lovely lady that's like more successful than me. Her friend group is just incredible people that have been in TV and films and stuff. And
Come on, give me just one name.
Who will I give? Terry Hatcher was there.
What?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And I was
what?
Like,
that was an unexpected name.
<know. laughs>
The comedy circuit and Terry Hatcher.
She was really nice. She was
amazing.
really
Did you talk to her then?
Yeah, and we danced together to 9 to 5.
But that is amazing.
For the first hour, I was clinging onto the wall like a person in a shallow end of the pool and going, I don't know what to do. Yeah. And I kind of had to wait until there was someone I knew really well that I could just stay on the side with her and go, oh, hello.
So but is the wall your safe place at a party where you don't really know many people?
Dance floor is my safe place.
Interesting.
Yeah, because, I mean, I wasn't even drinking that night and I waited until people were drunk enough to start dancing and then I danced.
Perfect.
I love
with
dancing.
Terry fucking Hatcher.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I was talking about confidence and I wanted to ask, like, how much confidence do you have as a human being? Do you feel like you've gone far along the road of self-acceptance and that stuff?
No. And I feel I feel like there's a lot of pressure to do that. It's weird being a fat person as well because, like, you get some people are like, look at you. Good for you. Going on the TV. You know, and it's like... being you, you're just unapologetically you
about your existence.
Yeah, and it's like, oh Christ,
you don't seem to hate yourself.
Yeah, but I can some days, and I'm entitled
of course,
to as much as like.
But
what
who
are you,
doesn't?
Yeah.
What do you think of fat as a neutral word?
It's a good word because it describes. Sure. It's a description.
Yeah.
It's a
so you do see it as a neutral. The thing.
Yeah,
that upsets...
like if someone called me like a fat C word. Then
sure.
I'd be like,
It is all about context, of course. And if somebody says it in a nasty way, then sure, it's a nasty word.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it is just a descriptor.
Yeah, but sometimes like it's hilarious how you feel a bit dehumanized. I remember, I don't know, it's so weird. I think I comfort ate a lot as a kid and stuff.
So,
and my identity was the fat girl, the fat funny girl. So that's what I kind of leaned into a lot. And your role is like, even in nightclubs and stuff like that, it's a different type of role to what your friends would have. It's often like you're kind of like a gatekeeper as well. And you're kind of like, I find myself being sensible a lot,
and I find that people who are really thin, this is maybe just offering up too many generalizations, but there's a sort of thing that like being fat or being bigger than them is the worst possible thing. So if I'm describing my own body in my own terms, they'll jump in and be like, no, you just have big boobs, or stuff like that. And I'm like, I'm allowed to describe my own body and have my own feelings about my own body without you trying to minimise stuff. When I wasn't insulting myself, I like myself.
It's so hard, though, because I think, like, people see being fat as, like, the worst thing you can be. So they're like, no, you're not that really bad thing. And it's like...
don't call yourself such a terrible thing.
Yeah.
What's which the, is very patronising.
I'm trying to care less about what people think are my feelings on stuff because that's their own feelings.
Yeah.
I don't like people judging me on my self-esteem or how I feel about myself. And people are reflecting what they feel about themselves back on me. And that's their own thing. And I'm like, it's okay,
chicken. So we're going to bring this conversation around to the Clubhouse initiation.
Okay.
Which is just a quick fire round. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
If Tom Cruise asked you to join Scientology, would you do it?
I mean, is he asking me to sign the 1,000-year contract?
Yep.
Or is he...
That's how you join Scientology, isn't it?
I'd say no.
Would you really?
Yeah,
Tom
I would.
Cruise is offering you the world, Alison.
The world? He's offering me Scientology.
Yes, he is.
I am obsessed with Scientology.
Me too, it's amazing.
Yeah, I used to hang around outside the offices in Dublin.
To try and get recruited.
Well, just because there'd be always bits of drama that you could watch. In Dublin, there used to be this guy that stood outside with a camera pointed in and going... and naming all the people that came in and out. It was like, I know who you are.
Like in an anti-Scientology way?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And then they would shove a camera on him.
Yeah, they do, don't they?
And then it would be like that for a couple of hours. And I'd eat an ice cream and just sit down and watch.
That sounds like the best people watching.
Oh, it's brilliant. And the port, there's a hairdresser's underneath the old Scientology offices in Dublin. And they used to come out and go, please, you're affecting our businesses. Please stop fighting outside.
Oh, my God. That's awful. Affecting the real people.
Yeah, yeah. There's victims. There are other victims in this thing.
Are you a bath or shower person?
Oh, I am. I'm a bath anytime I'm in a hotel.
Ooh.
So I'll go to Lush, I'll get a thing, and I'll go, this will cure my depression. And then I'll watch. So bath and a, but do you know what I am? I'm a bath in the streets and a shower in the sheets. That's what I am.
Very good.
Thank
Excellent.
You.
Excellent. Have you ever been in a fight?
Yes. Physical? Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, discos. My,
at every disco you've ever been?
Not every disco, but my mate didn't really adhere to girl code and would go off with other people's boyfriends. And I'd be like that fat friend. I'd be like, leave her alone. And I would just like tear them apart. Plus, I grew up in like a council estate in Ireland. So we used to fight with boys all the time with fireworks. I lit a firework and threw it at a guy like that.
Bet he deserved it.
Well, he was throwing it at me. Like, it was a game. It was like...
What a hilarious game.
Yeah, we just...
Ending in some maiming.
Yeah. Well, that's what made it fun.
Yeah, that
He'd
is
run
true.
Behind a car.
All the danger.
Yeah, we were terrible. We used to play a game called IRA, which was like... run around and cut holes in our hats and just chase each other.
In your hats?
Yeah, oh, which is like make bad clavers out.
Oh, I see.
Cut holes in her hands like stigma.
So funny.
But yeah, it was like properly kind of like I grew up around violence.
Yeah, so you get desensitized, I suppose.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then I talk to other people about their childhood, and I'm like, you didn't do that.
You didn't do the IRA thing.
Yeah, or like. Even with my mates. So we used to have these jelly snakes, which were 25p. So they were like, they were a long gelatin snake that you'd get in a penny sweet kind of packet, right? But I would get it and I would just like say to my friend, hey, and they'd turn around and I'd slap it across their
Whip
face.
Them.
Yeah, and it would mark them and then they would do it to me.
Kids are so violent.
So
because
violent.
Because obviously, I mean, I didn't pretend I was in the RA.
Sorry,
I did beat the shit out of my siblings regularly.
Oh, all the time.
And they did it to me.
Yeah, yeah, all the time.
Yeah. Or,
I found when I moved to the last place I moved to, I had an English accent, so I got rid of that quick enough because they did not
like shit.
Yeah, and you know, not a great rep.
No.
So I got rid of the accent, and also I just got into fights because that was the jokes were not hitting it for self-preservation, and I needed to. Survive in a different way. There was this guy who always used to hit me and always used to like say, he said something derogatory about my mum's haircut one day and I tried to gouge his eyes and he never said another word to me again.
Well, quite right.
I know.
That'll learn him.
Never go after my mum's highlights. They were amazing.
Did you get like an eye or just not
I
quite?
I never. But I got the better of him.
But with the benefit of hindsight, were your mum's highlights not great?
Probably, yeah. I mean, it's not for him to say.
Or me, sorry. I apologise.
No, no,
please
you're
don't
fine.
Kill me.
Fine.
Who was the first person you fancied?
Ooh. Aaron Carter, probably.
Oh, yeah, good choice.
Yeah, I
licked
the poster.
I think he follows me on Twitter.
Oh, my gosh.
I think, feel like I remember... like that happening and me being like really freaked out.
Oh my God.
Obviously,
yeah.
I sent him pictures of my dick.
You gotta. Yeah, it was him. It was Smash Hits magazine. I was on a ferry from Wales to Ireland and something compelled me to lick the front of the poster.
Well,
so I did.
Why not?
So I take that.
Did it taste good? Do you remember?
Probably got a paper cut.
I think I
God's
I was
way
weirdly...
of telling me lust is bad.
Don't do it. Yeah, you're going to hell.
Yeah. Well, who was yours?
Well, you just reminded me that I had loads of posters of Michael Owen, the footballer, all over my wall.
I had his PlayStation game.
Weird.
Yeah.
Weird. That is not a good one. I'm going to move on.
Go on.
Do you complain in restaurants?
No.
Can you burp on command?
No, I've tried. Can't do it. I can flick my eyelids
Loser.
Inside out. Yeah.
Have you ever thought about auditioning for X Factor?
Oh, my gosh. No, I haven't.
Definitely not. Not even definitely in the not. Darkest recesses of your...
Big Brother.
Of your soul.
Oh, when I was yeah. a kid. When I first... I was obsessed with Big Brother. Yeah, I know. Now I'm very thankful.
Yeah, I'm very thankful you didn't do.
Yeah.
And finally, how much do you cry?
Oh, so yesterday I watched Beyoncé's Homecoming and I cried 4 times. The hardest, and like I actually physically sobbed, was when Kelly and Michelle came out.
Oh, don't.
Yeah, it was just incredible. So I cry a lot, all the time.
I've dedicated my new book to Beyoncé.
Have you?
It was supposed to be a joke, but like my acknowledgements, I mean, not dedication. But just it's just 4 pages of me talking about how Beyoncé is my best friend. I don't know what I was trying to achieve with
it. Were you a fan of Destiny's Child back
in
the day?
Yeah, of course I was. Yeah.
No, she's incredible.
She is just amazing. And anyway, congratulations on surviving the initiation.
Good.
Here is your welcome to the clubhouse goodie bag.
What? Oh, my God.
And actually, it feels a bit racist that it's green, the bag.
Oh, yes.
Bit of a G&T in a can.
Would you like a bit
now? We might as well carry on, right?
Yeah, let's do it. Thank you so much.
And there's a crown in there, which I thought was a bit like hot messy, you know. Like,
no, I love it.
You get drunk, you put on a little tiara.
Have you heard of Lizzo?
Oh,
amazing.
Love her.
Yeah. I don't need a crown to know that I'm a queen. That's what I am now.
We've gone from singing hymns to singing Lizzo.
Yeah, but that's my life, though. It was amazing. From singing that.
That looks really nice on you.
She's my god now, Lizzo. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
That's very welcome. There's a lot of chocolate in there as well. I don't know. Are you a chocolate fan?
Yes.
Are you a? I was going to ask. Are you a person who could eat the same thing day in day out?
No. I'm very bad. I can't even eat leftovers. The meal straight away after. Like it has to be something different.
Fair enough.
As Josie Long has said before, why live on your knees? And that's my saying.
That's the same thing.
Yes.
So I do want to know how you ended up doing comedy. What happened after school?
So after school, I moved briefly to England again and worked as a tele sales operative for a energy company that sells boiler insurance.
Were you good at that?
I was one day when they gave away free beer, but it was just because of the numbers I got. I was lucky. But everyone was like, oh, she's Irish. It's the alcohol. It's giving her alcohol makes her work harder.
Some casual racism.
Yes. but it's so weird because in Ireland, like sometimes my English accent will come out and then they're like, oh, yeah.
Can you do a proper, can you do it for me right now?
English. I can impersonate my dad.
Go on then.
All right. why haven't you called?
That's pretty good, actually.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do some more.
I think I can talk like, I don't know, Talisa? No, that's like Australian.
No, that was really good.
Was it?
I was really impressed.
I like Talisa.
Talisa is an excellent reference as well.
Yes. Yeah.
What's she doing these days?
Read up on her. She's been done wrong, mate.
She's really stitched up. Do you remember when they went undercover to like trick her into thinking she'd got a Hollywood movie?
Yeah. And didn't they oh, Talisa offered someone coke.
Because of that.
Yeah.
This guy like went undercover and was like, I am a huge movie director. I'm giving you this lead role in a Hollywood movie.
Yeah.
Could you just get me some coke?
I'd be so mad because I'd be like, I don't know who to call.
Yeah.
I'd just like, 118, 118. Is there a coke dealer?
Yeah, but you would, wouldn't you? You'd be like, great. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Let me just send somebody out for you.
Yeah. What, get it on like Uber Eats or something?
Deliveroo. We should set that up. That would be a good business. Do you always like doing stand-up? Have you had any bad experiences on stage?
Yeah. Wait there. I am going to lash into this. Because would you drink
You've
that
run
up
out. Sorry. Yeah,
yeah we'll share it. Mm. So, yeah, I've had bad times on stage. Probably, like, one of the worst times I've had on stage was, like... this guy, I was doing like a music festival a few years back and this guy stood up and kind of like was just shouting at me. And I was trying to like go, well, what's he shouting about? So I looked at him and he was like miming having sex with his mate, but he was kind of insinuating that I was his mate. And he thought it was hilarious because I'm not attractive to him. So that was
so pathetic.
So then I... insinuated that he was a criminal in some respect.
Probably.
And got people to chant at him until he left and stuff.
Did he actually leave?
Yeah, he left.
That
yeah.
is phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah. But I really laid into him. It was like a lot of years of like getting shit off people on the street that I just unloaded on him.
Good.
And it felt amazing.
Oh, so that isn't even a bad experience on stage. That sounds like a fucking wonderful experience.
That's okay, mate. I have no bad experiences.
Just that good?
What level of fame? People will disagree.
What level of fame would you like to achieve? Like Amy Schumer? Too far?
Yeah, that's way too far.
Too far. So what would be the level? You'd give me a name of level.
I would like to be established enough that I don't feel like I have to hang on the side of the wall at a party. You know what I mean?
Sure. So that you are the Terry Hatcher in the middle of the...
I want to be Terry Hatcher. Okay,
there, you go.
There we go. Terry Hatcher level of just... I think people leave her alone as well, don't they? Like,
sure.
I know nothing about her personal life, and that's the way I want it.
Thank you so much for joining me today, Alison.
Thank you so much.
Is there anything else you would like to plug or encourage people to?
Yes, I'm going to be doing Edinburgh this year, 5:15 every day in Gilda Balloon. You can buy tickets at Ed Fringe, and it's called Alison Spittle, Mother of God. And it's about the time that I did a nativity play and had the part of Mary, and it was ripped away from me.
Sounds amazing.
It's revenge.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining me. And thank you, everyone out there. Please rate and subscribe if you have a minute. Bye.
Bye. Oh, go listen to my podcast.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Oh, wait. Yeah. Also, yeah. Also, do you have like a mailing list or something that people can get all your info on?
AlisonSpittle.com and go to Headstuff and find Alison Spittle Show. That's my podcast.
Sweet.
Bye.
It's very good. Thank you everyone out there for listening. Next week on the podcast, we have the phenomenal writer and comedian, Sophie Hagen. Please do join us for some silliness. Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.